It's time to take a break with Gene and Mary. Every weekday at noon Eastern Time, join us as we talk about what's on our minds. Check out our fun and educational trivia questions on beunique.org. Email us at contactgeneandmary@gmail.com or interact with us on Facebook on our Be Unique Radio page. For your chance to win, listen every week. That's BUNEKE.org.
Warning. Side effects may include jocularity, increased knowledge, and a great way to spend 15 minutes. Hi, Gene.
Hey, Mary. Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Got a word for you today.
Yes.
It's scribe.
Okay.
Now there are
describe?
Just scribe.
Oh, okay.
There are two definitions for the word scribe. Mm-hmm. One is where you use a sharp instrument to mark the position on something.
Sure.
Like when you're cutting a board, you may measure the board and then scribe it where you want to cut it. Mm-hmm. The other one is a person who copies out documents, especially if they were employed to do this before printing was invented. And it's also an ancient Jewish record keeper. And then a little later, they became a professional theologian and jurist. Hmm. Do you know what a jurist is?
Well, I guess it's... Why don't you tell me? Because I would think if it would be a jurist, would be someone who's in a group making decisions of some sort.
An expert or a writer.
Oh, I suppose,
An expert in or a writer on law. It's kind of like a lawyer or a judge.
Yeah, a judge. That's why, yeah. Okay, like art shows have jurists.
Someone who's an expert in details of the legal system. Or if you had a jurist who was judging art, they would be an expert in that or something of that nature.
Very cool.
So I guess you're probably wondering, if you haven't paid attention, ladies and gentlemen, why we're talking about scribes. The jurist was just kind of a throw in. That was a bonus.
Yeah,
our topic today is female scribes in the medieval era. And thanks to our lovely assistant, Barb Marino, we found out that there have been 11 Latin inscriptions uncovered in Rome that identify women as scribes. If you look at your text and artwork, all of the scribes, especially when they were talking about transcribing the Bible, they were all men. Women weren't considered part of the...
the profession, perhaps.
The society. Yeah, society didn't acknowledge women in that profession. And I think part of that's because they assumed women were to be kept at home, pregnant, and barefoot, I guess. Anyway, there was a woman named Hapate, H-A-P-A-T-E. Uh-huh. She was known as a shorthand writer of Greek, and she lived until she was 25 years old.
Mm.
You know, people didn't live as long then as they do now.
No, not that many people knew how to write either. So
true,
it's kind of a
true.
Privileged sort of activity.
A lot of nuns and other religious women used the technology of writing to serve their communities.
Nice.
And it was very rare for female scribes to be recognized by name for their accomplishments, especially. But later, their descendants gave them credit for their work.
It's my understanding that very likely that a lot more women were scribes, but when it came to actually attributing the work, they attributed it to the male scribe.
And I think this is a topic that I've asked Barb to research for us. I believe that William Shakespeare was possibly more than one person.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it, Be Unique has a great product. And when people look at the magazine, they see Be Unique and they think it's great, but it's because of the work of a lot of different people that we can produce the magazine, the podcast. Look at our podcast. We're heard in more than 60 countries. Well, 60 for sure. This show alone wouldn't be the same without you or me. It's what it is because of the two of us, but it's also what it is because of Barb's research and because of the Little Green Oasis as a sponsor.
Kind of mixes all together to make it one product.
And the unscripted show is great and wonderful if it's just you and me talking or you and me with open mic, but it's all these amazing people. Like the other night we had Sylvia True. What a great show that was.
And she's a scribe.
Yes, she is. Yeah. And we have another one coming up, Carol Novello, and we always have Lisa coming on board. Uh-huh. And we wouldn't be the same show without so many amazing people. In fact, I just confirmed a show we're going to be doing, probably pre-recording it, but for a June show with one of the actors in Cobra Kai, which is a very popular series on Netflix right now.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, we have The Manifest Monday with Jillian Harris and myself and other people from time to time. We have the brand new Best Lifing show with mm-hmm. Julia Brodska and her team. And we have Anna East on Here I Am. So that's just one component of Be Unique. The magazine encompasses so many more people with such amazing talent. We're trying to make sure everybody gets credit where credit is due.
But sure.
Back to our female scribes. There was an archaeologist who kind of started the research into these female scribes. She found something under a microscope in a skeleton, the teeth of a person, and it was blue. And it was so unnaturally blue that it seemed out of place in the 1,000-year-old artifact that she was working with. We later learned that it was a pigment that 1,000 years ago could only have come from lapis lazuli that originated in a single region of Afghanistan. Now, this particular gemstone, this kind of blue, was worth its weight in gold. One of the reasons that they used it in artwork, and that was the striking blue that they used for the Virgin Mary's robes when they were painting her. But the teeth of this artifact were embedded with this blue. They started putting two and two together. And as scientists do, and people who are deep into research, they decided that these teeth belonged to a scribe or a painter who did the artwork in the medieval transcripts. And then they found out it was a woman. And they did radiocarbon dating to determine that she lived around the year 997, possibly to 1162. She had been buried at a woman's monastery in Dahlheim, Germany.
Interesting.
Yeah. So these blue particles kind of shined a light on the forgotten history of medieval manuscripts.
Sure. Definitely not the kind of thing you'd find just anywhere. Definitely.
You're not going to find lapis lazuli in my teeth.
No. Well, I mean, even just the stone itself was always pretty much associated with royalty or religion. Yeah.
Well, the religious were kind of royalty, a different kind of royalty at that time.
Yeah, they were. And something interesting, too, I found out was some of the earliest writing we have is from like the Mesopotamian era, mm-hmm. 5,000 years ago or so. And what I was able to find out was that during that period of time, more than 3,000 years ago, that they had a goddess of scribes, that it was such a prized skill, and they had a goddess of scribes. Well, by the end of that era, that goddess had turned into a god of scribes.
Oh.
Over a several thousand year period.
Okay.
So that it kind of went with the same, you know, the way our history has kind of focused, the way we've changed as early as before 3,000 years ago. And of course, in Egypt, they had women in high places.
Yeah. You know, the fact that they could uncover all this stuff, they're finding out that women played a more pivotal role in history mm-hmm. than we thought. I mean, if you look at most writing from, you know, the last 5,000 years, it centers around the men. And in fact, look in the New Testament, it was very rare to have any mention of women at all. Mm-hmm. Usually they were either just mothers or they were women of ill repute. Now, there was Martha and Mary, who were sisters, but their role was supposedly taking care of the men.
Yeah. Well, you know, we were talking earlier about women working and not taking credit. I had read that during the Roman Empire that there were two women that were, they weren't quoted as for specific works, but they're mentioned and referred to a lot as contributing to help other authors win fortune. So they were widely recognized as women writers, scribes, but they were not, apparently it was just accepted that they were not going to be taking credit. They were helping.
Right. And so you, I'm sure you've heard of George Eliot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, George Eliot is not a man.
Right.
That's a woman. She assumed a man's name. And a lot of people, even today, a lot of women don't use their names. They'll use their initials so that people can possibly assume that they were men.
Exactly.
And I've heard many stories of women who just write under a man's name. Interesting that people think that men writers are better than women writers, yet women buy 80% of all the books ever printed.
Well, I'm sure it's the men who decided that they were better. You know, I would imagine.
Well, there's enough women, we should decide we're better. Oh, man. We're down to about 2 minutes, and I wanted to talk a little bit more about this lapis lazuli. As much as I do about the female scribe,
mm-hmm.
there was a team that considered a number of ways that lapis lazuli could have gotten into this woman's dental plaque. This one. Could the particles have come from repeated kissing of an illuminated manuscript? Well, I don't know about you, but I kiss with my lips, not my teeth.
Yeah. Wow. I don't know. I mean.
And somebody else suggested that she ingested it as medicine.
Maybe.
But there's little evidence that particular prescription was followed in 12th century Germany.
Right.
Now, the lazuli particles were especially fine, which means they had been ground down into a powder.
Sure.
So the stones were purposefully made into a pigment. And these were the two scenarios that the scientists decided were most likely. The woman was a painter who could have ingested the paint while licking her brush to a point, or she breathed in the powder while preparing the pigment for herself or someone else. Now, you can imagine if she was using this on a regular basis, it just became part of her fingers and fingernails were probably crusted in it.
Yeah, probably through her skin even.
Yeah.
Well, very interesting.
Yeah, the cemetery where she, or the monastery where she was buried was eventually destroyed in a fire. So there's not much evidence of what life was like there. But her teeth suggested that it could have been a site of a highly skilled book production. It's kind of cool. So that brings me to the end of our show today, just about.
You know, we're really happy you chose to take a break with us today, and we look forward to hearing from you guys online. Join us again tomorrow, too. Visit beunique.org for details about all our shows.
That's beunique.org. Bye, everybody.